Please turn with me again to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. It's on page 976 of the Bibles provided for you. We're going to be looking at Ephesians 2 verses 11 through 22. When Paul wrote this letter, it was less than 30 years after the gospel first went out to the Gentiles. That the good news of salvation had gone beyond Israel, had gone out to other nations. And you may have been able to tell, we've been talking a lot about the temple this morning. And there was the temple in Jerusalem still standing when Paul wrote this letter. And so there were still Jews practicing all the old ceremonial system with all its sacrifices and all the rules about keeping Gentiles out. So think about what it was like to be a Gentile at that time. As we read this, think about what it was like to be a non-Jew, to be excluded from those things, to be told you can't come into God's temple. And then think about how that fits with what we're reading here this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. This is the holy word of God. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which was made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body, through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who are near. For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We'll end our reading here at this point. Do you belong in the church? Do you ever feel like you're on the outskirts? Like there's maybe an inner circle of people who are more typical Christians, who look more like what you expect Christians to look like? Unfortunately, in our sinfulness, our minds naturally create these in-group outsider distinctions. This is true in schools. This is true in workplaces. It's even true sometimes in families. And sadly, the church is not immune to this. And if you feel like an outsider in the church in any way, you may begin to think that there are other people who are closer to God. That the people who are sort of at the heart of things in the church are somehow closer to God than you are. And that's the issue that Paul is addressing in this passage this morning. He makes an argument here. He wants to argue against that way of thinking. He wants to say that everyone who is saved by Jesus Christ has full access to God. That Jesus broke down all the barriers that separate us as Christians and all the barriers that separate us from Him. That He has broken down those barriers so that we can approach God with confidence. Now the issue in Paul's day was the distinction between Jews and Gentiles. And it was easy for Gentiles, for non-Jews, to feel like outsiders because they had been for many years. That for a long time, the Gentiles, non-Jews, were not allowed to take part in many of the ceremonies of God's people. But Paul takes time in this passage to explain how all of those barriers have been broken down.
And I hope you'll see, actually, as we work through this passage, that he's working his way into the temple, breaking down all the barriers that used to separate us from the presence of God.
We'll see that he's talking about the sort of the imagery of the temple here. And he argues, essentially, that no matter what kind of person you are, no matter what your background is, no matter where you came from, if you are in Christ, he has brought you near to God. He has broken down all the barriers between you and God. So brothers and sisters, wherever you come from, whatever your history is, approach God with confidence if you are in Christ. If you are in Christ, approach God with confidence. And first, approach God with confidence because in Christ, you are now citizens. Because in Christ, you are now citizens of the people of God. Paul starts this section here with the Ephesians' past. He talks about what their past was like. And it's not a good past. He says that at one time the Ephesians were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Literally alienated from the citizenship of Israel. So when he talks about citizens later on, it's the same term. It's related. He says they were strangers to the covenants of promise. In verse 14, he talks about a dividing wall of hostility, that there was this division between Jew and Gentile. And again, in verse 16, he refers to hostility between them. And this was true because it was part of the old system of the law. That in the Old Testament era, there was a separation between Jew and Gentile. That God created a system that would tell the world that you have to be part of God's people to be saved. That you need God's grace to be saved. And part of that picture in the Old Testament times was choosing the nation of Israel. That you had to become part of this people to become part of God's people. And so there were believers, Gentile believers in the Old Testament, but they had to become part of God's people. They had to be circumcised. They had to give up their culture. They had to give up their heritage. They had to give up where they were from because they had to come to Jerusalem for feasts. And so there were Gentile believers, but there was this division in the world that said, these are God's people, these are not. The nation of Israel is God's people, the Gentiles are not. And this was most clearly represented by a literal wall in the temple. There was a stone wall that separated the Jews from the Gentiles. And that's probably what Paul is referring to here, at least in part in verse 14, when he talks about a dividing wall of hostility. So, to understand this, you need to remember the layout of the temple. And so, kids, if you have something to write with, this might be a chance to draw a diagram of this, and you can tell what we're talking about, the different parts of the temple here. So, the temple was a large complex, and so you can draw a big square. There's a big square that surrounded the whole area of the temple. And inside that square, there was a courtyard where anybody could go. Any Jews or Gentiles, anyone could go into that courtyard. But then inside that was a smaller square. And inside that square, only Jews could go. There was a wall separating them. And then inside that area was an actual building, the temple of God. And only the priests could go in there. It's a rectangular building with the holy place and the holy of holies. And only the priests could go in there. So you've got Gentiles on the outside. You've got Jews on the inside. But then at the very center is an area where only the priests could go. So what Paul is talking about here is that wall between the outer part and then that inner courtyard. And we know from sources outside the Bible that that wall was about 4.5 feet tall. So it wasn't that tall, but it kept you out. It was short enough that you could see in. You could see what was going on, but you couldn't be part of it if you were a Gentile. Because there were columns placed all along this wall. And on each column was an inscription. It was a stone with an inscription that said, if you were a foreigner and you crossed this barrier, that you would die. You'd be put to death. We actually still have one of these stones. It's in a museum in Turkey. And you can see this. And the final word on this inscription is death. It stands out. And they were placed all around this wall saying, you may not enter here if you are a Gentile. That's the hostility. That's the wall, the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile that Paul is talking about here. This is what Paul means in verse 17 by those who are far and those who are near. Many of the Gentiles lived literally far away from Jerusalem, so they were far in that sense. But even if they came to Jerusalem, they couldn't get as close to God as the Jews could. They were kept outside by this wall. They were far and the Jews were near. They were kept far while the Jews were allowed to come nearer to God. But Paul says that in Christ, that Christ has broken down that barrier between Gentiles and Jews. He has removed that separation. It says that he, in verse 15, that he abolished the law of commandments and ordinances. That those Old Testament regulations that separated people were just a shadow. They were supposed to point people to Christ. So now that Christ has come, now that he's brought the true sacrifice, we don't need that distinction anymore. Christ doesn't require the sacrificial system anymore because he's our perfect sacrifice. There's no need for that separation. The Jews and Gentiles alike have been saved through Christ, so we're all in this together. We've all become one people of God together. I needed to be saved from my sins by Christ. And Paul needed to be saved from his sins by Christ. And you need to be saved from your sins by Christ. And when we are all saved the same way by grace, we are in this together. We are all one people through him. So just imagine for a moment standing outside that wall in the old temple. Imagine standing there because you would have been excluded. Every one of us here today would have been excluded. I don't think any of us, as far as I know, are ceremonially clean Israelites. We would all have been standing outside that wall. And you can imagine standing there and you can see in, you can see the Jews bringing their sacrifices. You can see them praying to God. You can see them getting right with God, worshiping him. And you are on the outside, excluded. But then imagine Jesus coming and breaking down that wall, taking a sledgehammer to it, smashing those signs that said that you would be put to death, and welcoming you in, saying, you're all in this together. Jew and Gentile alike, you're all the people of God. That's the picture that Paul is painting here, of Jesus breaking down that separation between Jew and Gentile, welcoming you into God's people. That's what it means that once you were far off, but now you've been brought near through Christ. Once you were strangers and aliens, once you had no right to the promises of the people of God, but now you've been brought near. You're full citizens of the people of God. No one can exclude you based on your race, based on your family, based on your background, or any other reason, because you've been brought near through Christ. So what does this mean for you today? We don't have a physical temple anymore. And I doubt that any of you have spent very much time being concerned about being a Gentile. It's not really part of what we worry about today. But Paul is saying here that in Christ, you should never be excluded from the church for any reason, whether it's your nationality or your family or your background. Whatever your cultural heritage is like, you can approach God with confidence if you are trusting in Jesus Christ for your salvation. That you are part of the people of God. It also means that we as a church should be about the business of breaking down walls of separation between Christians. That anything else that might separate us on this earth should be broken down as we are brothers and sisters in Christ. You see a very vivid picture of this, and when you've had meetings between Messianic Jews and Palestinian Christians. If you want to talk about a group that has hostility for each other, it's the Jews and the Palestinians. But when these people come to Christ, it doesn't mean that it's easy, but we've seen meetings between these Christians saying, we have a greater bond. We have a greater connection than any other hostility that there is between people on this earth. And we as a church should be ready to welcome our brothers and sisters from every country, from any place, any background, because we are saved through Christ together. Approach God with confidence because in Christ you are citizens. But Paul isn't done with breaking down this first barrier. That outer wall of the temple was only the first barrier of coming to God. So secondly, approach God with confidence because in Christ you have peace with God. Because in Christ you have peace with God. Paul doesn't sugarcoat verse 12. The way he describes the Gentiles before they were Christians almost sounds harsh. But it sounds that way because it really is that awful to be outside the people of God, to be without salvation. He says they were strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. And Paul here is contrasting Jews and Gentiles. He's saying the Gentiles were like this, they were without God, but the Jews had the covenants of promise. They were citizens of Israel. God had given them hope, and God had told them that He would dwell with them and be their God. But think for a moment. Did the Israelites have full access to God? Was there any sense in which even the Jews needed to be reconciled to God as well as the Gentiles? Is there any way that they were still cut off from God? And here's how where the layout of the temple helps us again. So we were in this outer court as the Gentiles. Jesus has broken down that wall so we can be in that inner court. But as I said earlier, there was that building of the temple on the inside where only the priests could go. You could be the best follower of God as a Jew back in these times. You could follow all the laws. You could be ceremonially clean. You could bring all the right sacrifices. But you could never enter that temple building if you weren't a priest. And God designed it that way as a reminder for the Israelites that they still needed their salvation to be accomplished. That the sacrifices they were making all the time didn't really give them full access to God. That they were looking forward to a true and final sacrifice. They're looking forward to their Messiah who would take away their sins. But until that time, they were still separated. Even the Jews couldn't enter the holy place or the holy of holies. And that's why Paul goes on here to talk about both Jews and Gentiles needing peace with God. Look at verses 16 and 17. Notice in verse 16 it says that He might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross. Both Jews and Gentiles needed to be reconciled to God. And in verse 17, that Jesus preaches peace to those who are far and near. He preached peace to the Gentiles and to the Jews because we all needed peace with God. Hebrews 10 explains a little more about how Jesus brings us into the holy place. Hebrews is just full of the imagery of the temple and the tabernacle. And so here it uses some of that imagery to describe how Jesus brings us into God's presence. Hebrews 10, 19 to 22 says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith." That's saying that Jesus is that final sacrifice. He's what all of these pictures in the temple represented, the veil that separated us from the Holy of Holies. Those sacrifices that were necessary to come, all of that is Christ. And He brings us into that holy place. All Jews and Gentiles needed that access. Everyone was cut off from God by our sin. None of us can stand in God's presence in our own right. But Jesus brings forgiveness of sins. He gives us that access. Verse 18 says, "Through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father." So just imagine the temple again here. So we've come in from that outer court. Jesus has broken down that outer wall, and we're in that courtyard with all the Jews. We're part of the people of God. But in front of us is this temple building that we can't enter because we're not priests. And in that inner courtyard is the altar with sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice being offered. It's a constant reminder that we're sinners, that our sin deserves judgment, and we need blood sacrifice to enter God's presence. We're all stuck. We're all outside the holy presence of God in that courtyard. Then imagine Jesus coming again. Coming and standing in that door to the holy place saying, "Come on in. saying, "You are covered by me. You can come to God now. You can have peace with him because I sacrificed myself for you." That's what it means that Jesus has brought us near, that he's reconciled us all to God. That's the picture that Paul is painting here. The Jew and Gentile alike needed that reconciliation, that peace with God. Now don't miss the fact that this is all through Christ. Jesus didn't just break down all the barriers and say you can come to God any way that you want. This access is only through Jesus Christ. Every person, Jew and Gentile, needs Jesus Christ to come to God. Jesus is the only way to peace with God. So if you have never confessed your sin and asked for forgiveness through Jesus Christ, humbled yourself before the Lord and recognized that Jesus dying on the cross for your sins is the only way to have peace with God. And I'm sorry to say that the first part of what we read this morning still applies to you. Without Jesus Christ, you have no hope. You are without God in the world. So while there is still time, while he may be found, ask God for forgiveness. Be reconciled to him. Find peace with God because Jesus offers that forgiveness. He offers that reconciliation freely. He offers peace with God. Even if you are a Christian, if you could say, "Yes, I have been forgiven through Jesus Christ," do you ever feel far from God? Do you ever think about God's holiness and think about how great and how perfect he is and think that you can't really approach him? You can't really pray to him until you clean up your act a little bit. So you make yourself a better Christian and then maybe he'll answer your prayers more. In those moments, brothers and sisters, remember verses 16 and 17 here. Jesus has reconciled you to God with all the other believers. He came preaching peace to you. Peace with God for sinners. You can approach God with confidence through Jesus Christ, if you are trusting in him. He has earned you that peace. So approach God with confidence because in Christ you now have peace with God. Now the Gentiles reading this at the time might have thought, well, it's all well and good that I'm allowed to enter God's presence now. It's all well and good that Jesus has earned me that right. But the temple is still far away in Jerusalem. These people were living way up to the northwest in Asia Minor. They were far away from Jerusalem. They might still think, well, the Jews have an advantage because they've got the temple there in Jerusalem. But Paul has one more part of this temple idea to share. So thirdly, approach God with confidence because in Christ, you are the temple of God. Because in Christ, you are the temple of God. Paul finishes this chapter here with a revolutionary idea. The Gentiles are actually part of the temple. That all believers are being built together as living stones, as it says elsewhere, living stones being built together into the temple of God. And the word that he uses for temple here is important. There are two words that are used to refer to the temple in the New Testament. And there's one that referred to the whole complex, all the courtyards and everything that we've been talking about. But then there's another word that Paul uses here in verse 21 that refers to just to the building in the center. Just to the building that contained the holy place and the holy of holies. Not the whole complex, just that center place where God's presence dwelt. So when Paul says the believers are being joined together into a holy temple there in verse 21, he's saying that the church is that central building in the temple. He's saying that God's most special presence goes with God's people wherever they go, wherever you go. In verse 22, he's saying to the Ephesians, "You are the holy place. You are the holy of holies because God dwells in you by his Spirit." So if we're following the progression into the temple here, we started on the outside. Jesus brought us into the people of God. And then he invites us into the holy place, into that temple. But it's almost as if we get there, we get inside that holy place, and Paul says, in Christ, you are the holy place. We don't need this building anymore, because you, the people of God, are the temple of God. The advantage that Jews used to have from living near the temple was gone. And that temple has been destroyed. There is no Jewish temple in Jerusalem today. But brothers and sisters, that doesn't matter. Because the true temple of God is the people of God. It is you and me together, saved through Jesus Christ. Believers from all backgrounds and all times are joined and fit together to grow up into the temple of God. Now, because Christians together are God's temple, we don't need holy places to meet. We don't need access to some holy site or some special building. This is what Jesus means by saying, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." What makes a building or a place holy is not that it's a special building, but it's the people of God worshiping there together and the Spirit dwelling in their hearts. So we could be gathered here in a beautiful building like this, or we could be gathered in a field. But we are still the temple of God. You can experience God's special presence in worship with God's people. You could be huddled in an apartment in communist China, hiding from the government, worshiping with other believers, or you could be in a cathedral. You could be in a church of 4,000 people, you could be at a church of 15. But God's presence is with His people. You are in His temple when you gather with His people and worship Him. I think this idea of the church is almost like Dorothy's ruby slippers in The Wizard of Oz. Dorothy was searching and searching for this wizard, going this long journey to find her way home. And we can spend so much time searching for that great spiritual experience, looking for that special access to God, going to special retreat centers, going to beautiful locations, visiting holy sites, hoping to find that special connection with God. We're like Dorothy searching for the wizard, for that way to get home. But at the end of it all, and spoiler alert if you haven't seen it before, but she's had the way to get home with her the whole time. She's had the slippers on her feet the whole time, and that's how she gets home in the end. And for so many searching Christians, that's what the church is like. We have the church with us all the time, and we forget that the church is where God's presence is. God says, "My people are my temple. You want to be close to me, be close to my people. You want access to the holy place of God, draw close to God's people." Once we were without God, but now no matter where you are in the world, you have access to God because you are part of His temple. This idea of God's presence going with His people as His temple has been a great comfort to me when I've been far away from home. When you go far from home, you're without your family. You're without your community. You're without what makes you feel comfortable usually. But Paul says here that you are never without God. Once you were without God, once you were separated from Him, but now in Christ, you have become part of the temple. So wherever God takes you to serve Him, whether that's Germany or Afghanistan for military service, or another state for work or school, you don't leave God behind. You don't need your church building. You don't need even just your local church that you're used to, because God's people are everywhere. Wherever you go, you can find other believers, and you can enjoy worshiping God with them together, experiencing that special presence of God. Remember also here that Paul is writing this to Gentiles to make sure that they know that they have every right to be part of the people of God. They have every right to be part of the church. In the same way, if you're trusting in Christ alone for your salvation, if you are humbly submitting yourself to Him, You are just as much a part of the church as every other Christian around the world. You are an essential piece of that building. Jesus is fitting you together with other believers as a part of His church. And so if you feel like you don't belong, if you feel like you're not the same as all the other Christians, if you feel like you kind of just never fit right with His church, approach God and His church with confidence, because you are part of His church if you are trusting in Christ. You are part of this building fit together by Christ. We all needed that salvation through Christ, so welcome each other. Celebrate that shared salvation, even if it's the only thing that you have in common with this other person. Do you belong in the church? I hope that you've seen that in some ways this is the wrong question. If you are in Christ, you are the church, along with all your brothers and sisters in Christ. We are thousands of miles away from Israel, from Jerusalem, where God's temple used to stand. And none of us are ceremonially clean Israelites. None of us is perfect enough to claim the right to stand in God's presence. But friends, in Christ, none of that matters anymore. He has reconciled you to God. He has brought you near into God's people. You are being fitted together as part of the true temple. So if you are in Christ, approach God with great confidence. Let's pray together. Our gracious Father, we have heard bad news and good news this morning. The bad news of where we were without you, or perhaps even where we are without you. And so, Lord, we ask that you would work in the hearts of everyone here, that if there are those who do not know you, that they would be brought near through Jesus Christ. And for those of us who feel like we're far from you, but we are in Christ, that you would give us greater assurance and hope from this passage. Because, Lord, you've given us good news this morning. Good news that you have made peace for us. You've broken down all those barriers. You've given us access to your holy presence. We can come to you as children to a Father, knowing that you are a good and loving Father who loves to give good gifts to His children. We thank you for this good news, Lord. We ask that you would fill our hearts with this hope throughout this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.